Welcome to Ear Gas. I'm your host, Jamori Kennard. I got something special for you.
Yeah. It's K-Slam. From the streets to the church, it's the truth.
Man just dropped.
Yeah. The world is so cold. It's way too many lost souls. Where Jesus the Lord will sit upon the throne. It's the truth. The world is so cold. It's way too many lost souls.
I pray the Lord will forgive me, cause every day I'm tempted to sin. So Lord forgive me. It feels like the world on my shoulders, but I'm a soldier. I'm not giving up on my dreams, so I'm a blower. I'm used to people giving your boy the cold shoulder. Most people that I meet in my life, I can't trust.
Slim!
Yeah!
What's going on, my cousin?
You already know. Your boy here, live. From the streets to the church.
Let's kick it off, man. You've been working.
Yeah, man. In every kind of way.
You've been working.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about some of the work you've been doing, man.
Musically?
All of it.
Oh, man. I mean, I've always been a worker. I done worked so many jobs over the years. And my passion always been music since ever since the age of 16.
But we talking about this work you've been putting in over the last month.
Oh, last month. Okay.
Over this last month.
So that's a major fast
forward. People don't drop like 3 singles.
Right.
Not where we from anyway.
Man.
Not where we from. They don't do that.
Nah, I feel you, man. I'm hungry though, man. I'm just hungry. You know, and you know that I have so much stuff in the bag, man. Just like our Tupac, you know, he passed away. He got so much material. You know, like they're like, man, he got to be still alive. All
man,
know,
you probably got more songs than Tupac, man. You probably got more songs than Tupac.
Rest in peace, Tupac.
Yeah, rest on. But you probably got more songs than Tupac, dating all the way back to the Digging You days and.
Right. Girl, I've been digging you all night. Let me get no 7 digits if it's all right. I ain't gonna say the whole chord. They might want to try to. that was my way to say pre-Jesus days.
Yeah, that was young K days. We K Slim.
That K Slim from the streets to the church days now.
Yeah.
2020 and forever, blessings over curses. You know what I mean?
So, talk us through what was the first song you released in this series of songs you released?
I would have to go with Elevation. You know what I mean? Featuring Nicole Victorious. Bless, shout out Nicole Victorious. And rest in peace, Monica Herring. You know, she currently passed away. But yeah, that's the first. Most definitely the first official single, believe we released that on. It's distributed by DistroKid.
Yeah.
So yeah, y'all most definitely can support Elevation.
How did Elevation come about when you started to create this? What was the creative process? What was?
Oh man.
What were you going through? What was your you know? How did you pattern it out? How did you put the verses to
right. I mean, I basically I found the beat on YouTube, and then it was real different. You know what I mean? I'm just like, I think I actually was going to pick up my sister from work at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in my 08 Honda Zera, just flipping through tracks, you know, and you know, you're always looking for a track that just kind of grab your spirit, grab your soul, you know, a beat that talk to you. You know what I'm saying? I think at the time I was just trying to create new music and find something with a different type of sound, different recipe. And so that instrumental to Elevation caught my attention. And for now, you know, I just pretty much just started coming up with, I felt was the right type of concept and everything, you know, for the beat. But I was going through a lot at the time, you know, and I was specifically searching for something that felt motivational. And that was the beginning of, you know, coming to, you know, with Elevation, just coming into it. Just me trying to self-motivate myself pretty much.
Hey, so you made that out of a self, almost like a self-help.
Yeah, almost like a, you know, like the Bible say, David had to encourage himself.
Right.
You know, you don't got a lot of people to, you know.
Cheer you on.
Yeah, cheer you on and give me accolades and all that different kind of stuff. So, yeah, you know, music has been that for me. When people around or when people not around, music is always there regardless. You know what I mean?
All right. So we got the story on that. Now, moving on to the next one, you drop The Truth, the original solo version.
It's The Truth.
Now.
Yeah, that's that pressure though.
That's been in the stash for a long time.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And it finally came out.
Yeah, it came out of the treasure chest box.
We see what it's doing.
What is it doing?
It's moving. It's sponsored. It got picked up.
Boom, boom, boom. You know, that's that new saying, them young cats come with boom, boom, boom.
You sound like Pops from Friday. Bang, bang, bang.
Oh, that's a whole different vibe, yeah.
Anyway, you released this song, and it started doing numbers. How did that make you feel?
It made me feel like, you know, perseverance.
You know what? You
perseverance,
wrong.
Huh?
You wrong.
I ain't even getting a talk.
You wrong, though. I just got to tell you that. You released The Truth first. Then you did Elevation. I know I took the pictures for both of them. We did Elevation after The Truth. Check it out.
No, you're right.
That's right.
Well, I stand to be corrected. You know what I mean? You know?
You did The Truth first, then Elevation. But, nevertheless, they both doing good. The Truth. Let's get to The Truth. The original version. They've been in the stash.
Right.
For a long time. You finally release it. It go nuts. How did you feel? That being your first official industry release. Not underground, but industry release.
Right. Nah, man, it's a overwhelming feeling, man. If if I wasn't saved, it'll probably feel like how people feel on high power drugs or something, whatever that make people feel like they really through the roof, through the stratosphere. You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel. You know, that's the feeling. It's just overwhelming. You know what I'm saying?
When you started, or you know, you went and got that beat made. Because that's an original beat.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
When you was getting that beat made and you was hearing the progression in that beat and your mind started racing, do you recall the feeling of first hearing the beat after you had brought it to life with J-Mo?
Let's shout out to J-Mo. J-Mo on the beat.
Also, you recall when you first started to write, what were you thinking and feeling about that one? Because that one is like probably a go down as a classic.
I believe.
From you.
I believe so. I mean.
Because it's so different. The beat sound like it's from outer space.
UFO swag.
Yeah. But do you recall the feelings you was feeling before you started writing it, when you started writing it, in the middle of you writing it and at the end, and then all the way up until now when you actually released it and it's getting good reviews? Can you tell me those feelings?
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm metaphorically speaking, It felt like Star Trek, like beam me up, Scotty. You know what I'm saying? I felt like that's the best way I can describe it. A chemistry of elevation, going from glory to glory, going to higher dimensions. It's like the more I got deeper into when I'm coming up with the next lyric, you know, the next couple bars, and then just listening back on what I feel like God was leading me to say in the song and how it's coming out, I'm saying to myself, man, this is some powerful content. It's a powerful content, and I know it was going to, like, really, you know, touch people's conscience, you know what I mean? And really just, like, just deal with people's spirits and minds, you know? Because I was like, man, I feel like some, you know, the lyrics was just very transparent, raw, and real. Hey, you know this yourself. Yeah, I always be like,
yeah,
I don't know how people going to take some of the stuff that I say, right, you know right, what I'm saying? Right. And you like, man, cuz, just say it. You feel me? So the truth is most definitely that song where it's just like, hey, mothers are still crying and babies on crack dying, women to be in abuse behind domestic violence. In the ghetto where I'm from, it's so corrupted with violence. It's hard to get a peace of mind to yourself to get silence. You know, it's just like a lot of powerful content.
I do remember before recording that, you was very worried about saying certain things because you didn't want the saved people and the church people to think that you were not serious or really saved.
Yeah, I mean,
how long did you struggle with that?
Oh man, I mean, for a long time, you know, because everybody may not can relate to this until maybe they season the time come. But for me, I was going through a transitional phase from, okay, like the young K. Like young K is my old version of me when I wasn't saved, right? And I didn't know who K Slim from the streets. I didn't know I was on the way to become K Slim from the streets of the church. But with that being said, when I got into the church, it's like I'm trying to be like, find out what's pleasing to God? Am I doing right as far as when it comes to being around church people? Because I didn't grow up in the church. Right. See what I'm saying? Right. So a person who grew up in the church, they wouldn't have to come this angle because they grew up in the church all their life and all that kind of stuff. I came in and had to try to figure out, you know, how to be myself. And, you know, you feel like, okay, you try to please people in a way. I mean, as far as, like, am I praising God the right way? Am I doing these different things?
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying? And you know, if you're not wearing a suit.
Right.
You know, so I'm in a church. I got goals in my mouth. You know, I got hoodie on. I'm wearing, you know, Nikes and this and that. Or, you know, I like flashy things. So I'm flashy and stuff like that. You know, so you got religious folks, you feel me, which at the time I didn't know the difference. I thought everybody was the same.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I had to find out, you know, the difference between Pharisee type people, religious folks type people who they don't really have a full understanding of the word, but they think they do.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And they're going to find reasons to try to find fault and condemn anybody who they feel that doesn't fit their criteria of being saved, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
For an example, like, you know, like, I done had people say, I'm going to hell because I got a tattoo. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to hell because I do got goals in my mouth. So, in other words, I had to wrestle with these, you know, mentally, that's hard to wrestle with when you have not yet found yourself in the faith, so to speak.
Yeah,
so,
well, you know, from what you just said, a lot of those people don't know what the heck they're talking about. The reason I say that is because, yeah, you got tattoos, yeah, you got goals, but once you repented and you were born again, all that stuff is supposed to be erased and wiped clean.
Right. Say, wash your sins away as white as snow.
That's right. Nothing but the blood.
Okay.
They can't help you. They can't wash your, they can't do that stuff for you. They can't condemn you either. But it's good that you finally went through and found that lane.
Yeah, them fiery trials,
man. That perfect medium, because yeah, if you didn't, we never would have got this.
Oh, yeah. And all of it was necessary, though. See, that, yeah, that's the good thing about it. It's almost like when you cooking the meal, it needs, you know, it has to have the different ingredients to make it what it is, but it has to go through the process that it has to go through.
You know what Mia X called that?
Mia X, no limit, Mia X?
She called it gumbo. You had to go through the gumbo. Yeah, all them different things through in the pot.
Right.
To make the delicious dish at the end.
Right.
That's what she called gumbo. So you had to go through the gumbo.
Yeah, I had to go through the gumbo, you know what I'm saying? Galatians 5, you know, even to make it biblical, you know, yeah, what I'm saying? It's going through, you're basically going through the long-suffering process, you know what I'm saying? I was willing to go through it, though. I made a conscious decision to go through it. But sometimes I did want to give up. I'm not going to sit here and lie. But when God has chosen you, or choose anybody who he chooses, you may want to give up, but there's going to be a certain nudge. And like God, at the right time, he going to have a ready word for you, a rhema word that's going to motivate you to keep on pushing. You know what I mean? That's what happened to me. Every time I want to give up, you just be like, you know, either you cause to come around at the right time, yeah, or, yeah, you know, yeah, what I'm, yeah, saying? Yeah. So, you know, God just know how to, it's everything predestined, you feel me? Everything that's predestined to work out the way it work out, you know, but I'm not a quitter, you know what I mean? And God already knew that. So, you know, y'all got the truth, you know what I mean? Y'all got it, man. I mean, I had to write the song 5 times, bro. That's another thing.
How many
thing.
Times did you record it?
Like 5 times.
So you wrote it, rewrote it 5 times and re-recorded it 5 times.
No. I just had to re-record it.
Okay.
And people may want to know why that did.
Yeah,
that,
well, tell them.
I mean,
tell them why. That's what we here for.
Right.
We here to get to the bottom.
Right, right.
Of everything. We want to know the root.
Hey!
We want to know the struggle. We want to know the pain.
Right.
We want to know the feeling right. after it was right. done and you felt right. The joy or whatever it is you felt. We right. here to talk about all that.
Right.
So let's just go. It ain't, listen, we own this show. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about, how long you want to talk about it. Let's just get to the nitty gritty. Like,
well, I ain't used to letting people allow me to really voice myself without having a quick cutoff point. Like most people, you know what I mean?
No,
I
you can,
a quick
you,
cutoff point, but you know.
Got, if it take you 2 minutes, if it take you 2 hours, you got all the time in the world. You can reword, you can rearrange, you can sit and think about it for a few minutes before you answer. That's the privilege.
Oh, shoot. Since I know that, then we going to get this thing crawled.
That's the privilege and the honor.
Oh, it's ear gas time now. And shoot, y'all got another version of the case now.
Show.
Oh, shit.
That's the privilege of having your own show and being in control of your own content.
Now, don't y'all think I said S-H-I-T. I said shoot.
Shoot.
Oh, shoot.
It's a difference.
You know what I'm saying? Because you know these people on social media will roast you.
Yeah, we said what the old people say. Shoot. But anyway.
Yeah.
So, back to what you were saying.
No, so, I mean, I had to write the song 5 times. I mean, well, you know what most artists who really care about their music, you know what I'm saying, when they're gonna listen at it. I like to listen to my music as if it's not me. You know what I'm saying? And I like to listen to it as if, okay, I'm being a critic of another artist.
Somebody else.
Even though it's me, I act like it's not me. And so when I listen to the song over and over again, and then I try to see, you know, how it grabs me when I play it back to back, back to back. You know what I'm saying? Do it continue to intrigue me or whatever.
Right.
But with the truth, at first it did. It did. At times it was like it started off grabbing me, and then along the way it started kind of like not intriguing me. And I was trying to figure out like, man, I think something missing. And eventually, you know, I find out, okay, it need an ad lib here. It need a little oomph right there. It need a, you know what I mean? So, but it took me to listen to it about like 15 times, you know what I'm saying?
I'm going to say this. A lot of people criticize you about holding on to music a long time or too long for their comfort. But do you feel that exactly what you explain sometimes is the right antidote to get what you've been releasing now? As far as what I mean by that is, when you hold on to a record and you get to sit back and listen to it over a period of time and you say, okay, man, I could have added this. I'm going to go add this. Or I could have worded this way. Let me reword it. Do you think that's a benefit of sometimes holding on to records versus I record it, I release it?
Yeah, I mean, every artist have a work ethic that's different. You know what I mean? You know, probably for what I do may not be good for another artist. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just speaking on the benefit of holding the record. Yeah. I'm trying to get to the point because I know the benefit of holding the record.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a great benefit. I feel like it's a great
releasing it right away.
Yeah.
You know, some songs, when you get that feeling, you just release it. And then some songs, you hold on to it, and it come out better because you held on to it, because you can go in and you got that time to sit and think about what you could have did to enhance it.
Right.
Or even sometimes, you might go in and take some stuff out. But it's the benefit of having the time to sit with the music and reflect on it.
I mean, the longer that you can sit and reflect on it, it should get better because you just have time to really assess it, basically. You know what I mean? Dissect it and, you know, and like a musical surgery. You have, you know what I mean? It's a musical surgery. You know, you're doing surgery on that thing. You know, you're critiquing all that good kind of stuff. If you're a perfectionist about your craft, like you just on some, you know, whipping some junk, throwing it out or whatever, that's that. But I never been that kind of person. I'm a professionalist, you know what I mean? So,
well, I say sometimes it been songs where you had, and right away you was like, let's go now.
Yeah, because it felt right in my spirit as far as the way the song grabbed me and everything. It didn't seem like I had to go and really have to re-critique and do stuff like that. So stuff like that, you can just go. But some songs, like, you know, the production of the beat, you know, the way you may have to flow your certain cadence, your certain punchlines and ad libs from a different type of production, you know, it be going different directions. You may like think that in your head it's gonna come out one way, then when you get a record, it come out a whole nother way.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
You see what I'm saying? So
now let me ask you a question. Were you always like that? Or is that something that you grew into?
It's something I grew into because now you the one cause that took me to my first real studio.
Okay.
Bless out Jamar Kennard, man, because he most definitely, I was probably like 18?
Yeah. We
was, like 17, we was, about 17, almost 18 years old, something like that. And he took me to On Beat Studios. Bless shout out to Oscar. You know what I'm saying?
Zayas.
Yes. You know what I'm saying?
OZ.
A legend engineer, you know what I'm saying? To my eyes, at least.
South Florida, he is.
Boom, boom, boom.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, so when I grew into it, because when I first recorded in a real studio, like I say, in your head, you hear one thing in your head, and then when you record, it don't come out the way how you heard it in your head.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So I had to go through I done spent like thousands of dollars over the years in the studio just trying to find my right voice. You know what I'm saying? Like on how to, it's almost like going to, it's like learning on the go.
Right.
Learning on the go in the studio, but you're like in the school, but you're like in the school at the same time. It's like you, I wasted so much. I mean, I won't say I wasted money. I made investments into bettering myself over something I believed in, but I had, it was like a Matilda process, right? That movie Matilda.
Yeah, yeah.
She had these special powers, but she didn't master the powers at first.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
She didn't master those spiritual gifts or the inner gifts that she had. And eventually, you know what I'm saying, like who I am now, you know, was just a process of me finding my identity, my true identity, and I can be confident in the energy that I project, and what I want to portray on record and really know how to put my personality over a record, you know, not just only like my mama have played a bit part too with me, not just only saying words, but it's how I say the words, you know what I'm saying? Like with emphasizing the emphasis. And man, she used to get me really frustrated. This was like the young K days. I would really used to be really frustrated when I was standing in the hood over there at the time with 38 from Pinewood. I used to be Chris Tucker then, smoking weed like crazy.
I remember them days.
I used to be high.
I remember them days.
But you know, my mama, you know, always tell me the truth and stuff like that. She knew I would was designing the rap and all that stuff. So I had my composition, write all my lyrics, and had a composition full of songs, all kind of songs. I even used to call myself Mr. Deadly.
Yeah, Mr. Deadly.
Yeah, Mr. Deadly, man. I used to be rapping about all kind of crazy junk, slicing the people.
Are you happy you didn't use that name?
Yeah, I mean, just go to show
where you were then and where you are now.
Exactly. Could you imagine
that album by Mr. Deadly?
Yeah, Mr. Deadly, man.
How long you think that name would have lasted? Do you think people would have took that name serious? Maybe not then. Yeah. I'm talking about in this day and time. If you would have been dropping projects from then to now, do you think that name would have held up?
I think would have got a lot of attention just because the name, like, okay, well, Mr.
It definitely would have got a
like
lot
Mr.
of attention.
Deadly, like,
it
okay, what's so deadly about him?
It definitely would have got a lot of attention back when you came out. But as these days, you don't hear rap names like you did back in the day, like a
Cool G Rap
or Africa Boom Bada, you know, you don't hear names like Mr. Deadly today. Yeah. Do you think that maybe you would have changed your name somewhere along? Like, as
I'm pretty sure. I mean, because as you grow, as different seasons pass, you know, your perception began to change.
See, I think K Slim from the streets to the church is the perfect name because you can use that. That's a name that you could go on with, and when you're 60 or 70. Could you imagine performing somewhere at 70 years old and they say, Mr. Deadly? Mr. Deadly? And you come out and you older now, and they say, damn, Mr. Deadly, he look like he about deadly.
Yeah, you know, you got these old people, man, be still acting gangster, though. You're right.
But, you know, I look at it like this.
But I got you, though, for as a name, you know.
You go with Nas.
Longevity-wise,
you go with Jay-Z. You go with Scarface. You go with, just think about that. In 2040, you coming out on stage and they say Mr. Deadly.
Yeah, Mr. Deadly, I wouldn't say is a timeless name.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
That's it. See, at that point now, for that season, it would have been like, oh, Mr. Deadly, Mr. Deadly. It's like.
So I'm going to say this, though. I found out that names are very important.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I had to go through a lot, though, to find. God gave me the revelation of casing up from the streets to the church. Me walking my faith and not by sight and not even knowing that casing up from the streets to the church was even going to come about.
So, you know what I'm saying? So the from the streets to the church is shortened. Can you, how did you, you, I mean, what made you come up with the FTTCS?
Or FTSTTC?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I just wanted to be able to simplify myself as far as social media goals and then a way of marketing myself. You know, so it's just like a little the acronym, whatever, say FTSTTC, the abbreviation from the streets to the church. Like, I'm always trying to be creative and just find different ways to be witty on how I market myself and just make it easier for people. Well, some people may find that casing them from the streets to the church, it might be too long or something like that,
right,
you
right.
know, so, you know, you just say, hey, you know, FTSTTC, that's the abbreviation from the streets of the church, so just, you can remember that way, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
So, yeah,
that's good,
be good,
man.
Marketing tactics.
All right, we're going to take a commercial break. Let these advertisers pay some of these bills for us, and we'll be right back with the man. K Slim from the streets to the church.
He said it wrong. K Slim from the streets to the church.
Welcome back to Ear Gas. We still here with the man.
K Slim from the streets to the church.
We got a lot more to talk about, a lot more information to get to you, and a lot more to offer through music, through testimony, the trials and tribulations of the artist known as K Slim.
I got the energy.
That's a song you made one time.
No, they don't need to know that right now.
I'm just saying, I remember it.
I know. You got the VIP exclusive.
Yeah, I know.
Because you
got the VIP exclusive to a lot.
That's right, because you bit cause.
You know what? You lucky I ain't one of these suckers. Cause I could be leaking everywhere. You'll have a real leak problem. all the information that I've been blessed that you allowed me to be around, a part of a lot of it, and just to even have the files. But I'm gonna tell you the truth. That's how a lot of people's stuff be getting leaked. People ain't all the way 100.
Hey man, you know. At the end of the day, you need a team of people regardless, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You need a team
of
people.
You got to be solid.
Just got to make sure,
leaks,
you know.
They'll poop on your party.
Yeah.
Rain on your parade.
Yeah.
Set your underwear on fire.
I look at a lot of documentaries, and I see a lot of people who we all like, you know, eventually had to get. They was around a lot of crooked people. You know what I'm saying? And eventually, they got around some solid people. And you're going to get burnt in this world that we're in.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually,
it's inevitable. That's inevitable. That's inevitable.
You can try to avoid from getting burnt, but that's really how you're going to learn.
Yeah,
you know, you can try to
right.
be the best parent and be like, oh, I don't want my child to go through this or go through that. But
and in the process, spoil them.
And then you got
a whole nother problem.
But here's the thing. When these kids... And this is the truth. This all ties into the truth because I'm telling some truth right now. So I'm just saying, when these kids are out of sight, out of mind, you know,
that's right.
And they out in the real world.
That's right.
You know, it's a lot of stuff that they have not encountered.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So all these different peer pressures and all this different
that's
kind of stuff.
That's right.
Now, we on the Ear Gas show. I don't know if I can keep it this real.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Because I own it.
Okay. All right, boss.
I own it.
Okay. So what? So let's get to the nitty gritty.
Nitty gritty, which is so the truth came out. We had
right.
People anticipating that record. and you delivered.
You delivered too.
No, that's on the remix. We ain't even got to that. We ain't even got there yet. We talking about the original.
Okay.
The original. You delivered.
Yeah, man. Three verses. Three exclusive verses. Three exclusive verses, man.
Let's
that's
talk
always
about
gonna be relevant.
The satisfaction you got when you released that joint.
Oh man, it's like.
Cause like I said, you've been holding it for so long.
It's like I was impregnated with it way more than 9 months.
And I saw you. I saw you when it actually was released. Like you had a new level of joy for this thing that you already knew you had. But now that it was almost like a release or a relief that you got out of you once you released it to the world.
It was like kind of like bearing my cross, like bearing weights, bearing the cross, you know what I'm saying? Holding on to like a bunch of weights, you know, and you just got a chance to move forward with it and actually solidify the business side of things pretty much, you know, because that's really what it is. It's just learning about the business and understanding that you're doing things properly and legally. And, you know, that's always just been, you know, they say the game ain't to be told, but to be sold.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? And I had to go through that process where trying to learn about the business aspect of it hasn't been easy until social media came around and got popular. Where people started actually teaching more about the business and stuff, and you can look it up online. But I was doing music around the time before social media wasn't
around.
Right.
Wasn't no social
media. You see what I'm saying?
It was MySpace.
Yeah. So when social media wasn't around, you didn't have that, you know, to try to dive into whatever you're trying to look up to find out what you're trying to learn, you know, like how it is now. So that's been the reason why a lot of music didn't come out, because I say I don't want to just put all this good music out but yet be blind to the business side and not
sure
how I'm gonna get paid.
You actually went as far as to told me you was nervous and kind of afraid to put it out at one time.
Because of the very same point that I'm making now, you know, and that I just made, you know. I'm real with myself. I know if I'm lacking knowledge and wisdom in certain areas and my strengths for my weaknesses. You know what I'm saying? I know I can record music all day. That's a strength. I can write music all day. That's a strength. You see what I'm saying? But knowing the business hasn't always been a strength. I done heard, you know, how many versions of how people say, you know, what's considered a legitimate copyright. You know what I'm saying? Like, I done heard so many stories about copyright, you didn't know which one to believe.
We know now, though.
Yeah, we know now.
We on the track now.
You know, so
that train going full speed.
That was a wild process, you know. Instead of a person saying, I don't know, you got a lot of people make it seem they do know.
That's
you know
right.
what I'm saying? So, but when you don't know for yourself, then it makes it even more confusing because you're hearing so many different versions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
so that's been the reason why I sat on a lot of my music. And I'm glad I did, because, you know, God already knew all this was gonna take place. But now I can see that everything was worthwhile to wait. You know, like the Bible says, you got to let patience have its perfect works. That should be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. You know what I mean? So I'm a man of principle. So I'm glad that I chose to, you know, stick by the morals and be patient and stuff like that. And yeah, so now is a really good time for me, you know, and I'm appreciative. I've been through the fire. It's the truth. Yeah, guys, we here, baby.
It's
you know what
the
I mean?
Truth. Now, yeah. that song is a different kind of song. It's different than anything that's out right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think
it's different than anything that was out when we recorded it.
Yeah, and that was a long time ago.
It's just different. If you had to pick a word to try to get somebody to understand it, you would have to use that word. It's just different.
Yeah, different, unique, peculiar. Words yeah. like that. Yeah.
You would have to go to the dictionary and use those kind of words.
Right, exactly.
You couldn't say, well, it sound like this or it sound like that, because it's just different.
And I got to, and I'm going to tell you what come to me now that you mentioned these words. Now, I had to find out. It's like God put in my spirit, say, I want you to embrace being different.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And when that hit me, I felt like a shift took place. Like, you know what? Like, man, I can just be myself and not care what nobody think about it. Like, I can, like, just become a better version of myself and work at being a better version of myself, not really trying so hard to be such a exact imitator of somebody else.
Talk that smack, man.
Yeah.
Talk that smack, man.
Yeah, man. You know what I mean?
Talk that smack.
So basically, that's actually how I came into locking in to K-Slim from the streets to the church. Just by daring to be different. Daring to just be like, okay, like Flavor Flav, right?
I'm going to say this. Hold on. It wasn't that you was daring to be different. It was that you were accepting. You were then accepting, I am different.
That too, right.
And
exactly,
then
right.
daring to be it, because you was already different.
Exactly, right.
Because you was already different, but then you had to get a confirmation to dare to let everybody else see the difference.
But see, I'm going to tell you.
Because a lot of people be different, but they keep it to themselves because they in fear of what other people going to say, whether laugh or ridicule.
And you hit the hammer on the nail, because that's really the direction I was going. And that's what I had to encounter, because being young coming up, I wanted to be accepted by people who were my neighbors and homeboys and going to school and all that kind of stuff. You know, you want to be that popular person. You don't want to be you don't want to be looked at as an oddball, like this kind of square, lame, weird guy, you know, whatever. You know, you want all the attention from the finest girls and all that kind of stuff. And don't get me wrong, like, people always thought I was cool, but people couldn't really figure me out at the same time. You know, because I was peculiar in my own way. And I didn't know how to... You can sense when people not fully embracing you in a way where they like, oh, this is a normal guy to them. You know what I mean? So that made me feel... it created a lot of insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of insecurities, you know what I'm saying? And... it was my homeboy, but he used to crack on my nose all the time. He used to call me my nose. He'd be like, my nose. And I ain't gonna lie, I used to want to have plastic surgery on my nose.
Wow.
It's real
funny. You never told me that.
Yeah.
Now, you told me about my nose, but you ain't never tell me that it messed with you that bad that you really wanted to have plastic surgery.
Yeah.
So, man, this is groundbreaking, because you give me, even though I know a lot about you, like I know probably more than a lot of people in this world know about you, and I never knew that.
Yeah, man.
That's crazy, man.
It's a lot of stuff that, some stuff, you know what I'm saying, I would have to take to the grave with me because the world wouldn't be able to understand it. You know what I'm saying?
I don't believe that.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, trust me.
No, you trust me.
But, you know.
Because sooner or later, I don't know how it's going to come out, whether it's on a podcast, whether it's you confide in maybe your future wife, maybe you confide in your kid. I'm going to tell you why it's important for you not to say that and let it go to your grave, because you never know how it's going to affect or help somebody sometime. I ain't saying now, but sometime in your life. You never know. And that's a part of what you do, especially now in these later years that I've been around and listening to your music evolve. You've been putting more detail and stuff. You know, even talking about your brother Mikey. Whether it was talking about like
rest
what you
peace,
like what you
peace.
Just explained to me about your nose. Like these things come out at certain times and maybe you don't prepare. You don't prepare to like broadcast it or tell it, but at some point in time, you know, I don't believe that, bro, it's just all that stuff in you, man. Like, you done told me stuff off air that, you know, I don't talk about until you ready to, like, if you ever write a book, which I told you you need to, a book, a music or whatever. But you got a lot of stuff in you, bro, that can really be some of your best work if you just, at some point in time, I'm not telling you to do it now.
No,
I'm just saying
no.
At some point in time in your life, and I don't know how to be, whether it be on your own podcast or whether you write a book or you have kids and mm-hmm. you giving these lessons to your kids to show them, you know, what you did, experience. You get what I'm saying?
No, I feel exactly where you're going with it. The best way I can even summarize it in a nutshell without it sounding like calculus is like, if God lead me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I speak how I feel led.
And I would, I would have to believe that at some point in time, he would lead you because he know that's your gift to the world is through expression, through your words, through your experiences.
Right.
You know what I mean? So at some point, I would have to feel like, and I'm not speaking for God, but I know how God worked, you know, just according by his word, or he had people sharing a certain time or somebody else going through something and you kind of like share that story to give them a ease of a pain or relief, like, hey, I made it through this. You can make it through too. That kind of scenario.
Right.
At some point, and it may be different parts of your life. It may be, 20 years from now that you share a story that you thought you would never tell.
For sure.
Cause like, I just think about it. You done told me some stories that you say you never told nobody because of this and that. And I keep it to myself until if ever you're ready to talk about it. But I keep that stuff. And you know, it's things, you know, that I done told you that you keep. So it's like, but at certain times they come out some kind of way. And cause it's a hard burden, bro, keeping those things to yourself until you die.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a burden sometimes.
No, it can be. But you know, another way I can put it too, in a nutshell, is when, like the Bible say, "My sheep shall know my voice." Right?
Oh yeah.
You see what I'm saying? But not everybody, y'all, people that claim that they know God, you know what I mean? But do they really know his voice for sure? And they're not overly codependent.
A lot of people thinking they hearing God and they hearing somebody else.
You know, they maybe overly codependent on man, you know what I'm saying? On mm-hmm. people with a title, you know what I'm saying? Even pastors and, you know, people who say they prophets and apostles and stuff like that. You know, but me, myself, like, God, like, I came up most of my life like an outcast most of my mm-hmm. life. You know what I'm saying? And so with that being said, I was already being sanctified. You know what I'm saying? I was already being set apart. I was already, God was already grooming me to be able to handle being alone for long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And most people that's like a loner.
Mm-hmm.
Normally people who really can hear from God.
That's right.
Why? Because they don't have a lot of distractions.
Right.
They're not around crowds of people all the time. You know what I'm saying? And anytime that you really want to hear, if you really want to advance your hearing, then you have to be alone to advance your hearing.
That's right.
If you got, if you're around people, it's too much, it's too much, it's too many voices going on at one time and all of this kind of stuff that it's going to just keep your mind cluttered up and congested.
Now, I'm glad you brought us to this point. Now, I got to ask you, just from off of what you said, we're going to piggyback off that.
Mm-hmm.
How does that, being alone at times, by yourself, isolated, just hearing from God or meditating, how does that incorporate with your songwriting?
Oh, man. I mean, and it's because I've been alone how a lot of these songs came about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Actually receiving revelations, getting the insight, getting clarity. But, you know, when you're by yourself, right, then you have time to meditate.
Correct.
Right? Marinate. How you gonna meditate when everybody all around you? You got Ray Ray and Jimbo and everybody around you. You know, you got all these women. And, you know, it's too much going on where you don't have time for yourself, right? So, all this time that I have for years, I've been to myself. You know, I done had people, like I said in my Soul Builder song, was like, you know, people come and they go walking out of your life. You see what I'm saying? And it, for me, that's what it's been. Like, people, they came and they left. They came and they left. And for the most part, I've been like an outcast. But how that incorporated into the music is that, you know, I've been through like a lot of hurt, you know, being used and abused in different ways. Whether if it was mentally, you know, just the fact of just going through different trials, going through my different transitional phases, right?
Right.
But now, that's why if you listen to my music, you can tell that I mean what I say and I say what I mean. You can really feel that real emotion. You know what I'm saying? You can feel that I'm not playing around and just trying to just throw words together. Like, nah. Like, when I can say, yeah, I got a different personality. I got a laid back side. I got my humble side. Like, I came out with a double CD with Trials and Testimonies. But it was with Trials and Testimonies over Hip Hop. And I came out with the humble side.
Mm-hmm.
One CD was called The Humble Side, the other one was called The Warfare Side. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it was kind of like that T.I. versus T.I., you know, but in my own kind of way. But yeah, for what I have gone through and by me being alone, it helped me to find more of my personality. You know, you spend more time with yourself,
mm-hmm.
and you learn yourself. Mm-hmm. And as an artist, you're able to get better with expressing your personality. You know what I'm saying? So I got the, like, yeah, you're like, yeah, whatever. Then I, yeah! You know what I'm saying? So it's two different feelings depending on what energy I need to give the track, but I'm confident with giving it that energy now that I found myself by being alone, having time to meditate, understand who I am in God, and just being faithful and persevering type stuff. And that's the truth, you guys. That's the truth.
That's the truth, y'all. So now that bring us to, since he said that's the truth, that bring us to the Truth Remix.
Oh!
Make some noise for that Truth Remix.
I wonder who on that.
Me.
Who?
Jamori. Kennard.
Who?
Dice Montana.
Who?
The real one.
You got me sounding like Mike Jones.
The Beast.
You got me doing my Mike Jones on you.
Hey, that's now.
Who?
Let's talk about that remix.
Mike Jones.
What made you want to put me on there?
I tell you what, cuz we first met, right?
Yeah.
That's what my home conspiracy. Dice pull up. Well, y'all may not know him as Dice, but that's, you know, he got a couple of AKA names. You know what I'm saying? But I know him as Dice Montana when I came across him. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
And he let me hear his first song that I heard from him.
Yeah, that was the first one you heard.
Right, that I heard. Slip he had a song called
Slip and Slide Days.
He had a song, but if y'all was to hear it right now, man, it'll make you want to tell
I'm
something.
I'm going to re-release it.
And it's called Confrontational.
Yeah, I'm going to re-release it.
I'm confrontational! Mm-hmm. You know, he rapping all fast. I didn't know what he was saying, but he was rapping so crazy and wild.
Because I didn't really want to feel the wrath of a damaging dummy.
Yeah, they were crazy. But the beat was crazy, too. You know what I'm saying? Like,
shout out to Big Dave.
Heavy 808. But with that being said, when I heard him rapping on Confrontational, my thing is, I came up on hip-hop. I came up, I'm an 80s baby for sure. You know what I'm saying? I'm an 80s baby. So, you know, like, I done heard so many different varieties of music. And I have a gift to, once I hear a person, I know, like, I can listen to a track and know that, okay, this track could be good for T.I. to fit on, or Tupac to fit on, or whoever to fit on, you know what I'm saying? So for the truth, I just knew that my cousin had that right type of delivery, you know what I'm saying? The right type of cadence, you know what I'm saying, for the truth, you know? And I know he been through a lot of things, and he was able to talk about some things, you know?
Let's talk about this, though, because I was not rapping at the time you asked me to be on there.
But I knew you had that ability.
I was singing. And it had been something like 5 or 6 years where I was not rapping.
That's facts. That's facts.
And that wasn't the first time you asked me to do it. You asked me a couple different times.
I was excited. I was asking.
And I would say no. Nah, cuz. And you say, come on, man. I need that old style.
Yeah. Because you wasn't in that zone. You weren't in the rapping zone at the time. You know, you wanted to be, I don't know who you wanted
to
be.
No, because I hate it. What you trying to say? This nigga just insult me or what?
I'm not insulting.
This nigga say you was on that singing stuff, man. Like,
yeah, at the time, you were just in your, and that's how I felt. You know what? I'm betraying how I felt at the moment. You know what I'm saying? Because at that time, I'm like, man, this cat on this singing stuff, man. Like, I'm trying to get him to get what moved me. Because I met him off that confrontational stuff. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's just a reflect. I got so caught to reflection. It may seem like that's how I feel now. But no, that is how I felt then.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. I'm just messing with you. But you asked me a couple different times, and I would say, man, you know, I don't really think I should do that. And you would come back. You'll wait now. This how you played the game. Let me tell you how you played the game.
Oh, shoot.
You'll wait for a couple weeks. Even though we were seeing each other every day.
I didn't say S-H-I-T. I said, oh, shoot.
Oh, shoot.
Right.
He didn't say the other word. Anyway, you were seeing me every day. We was together every day. But you wouldn't ask me every day. You'll come back and ask me like every couple weeks. You was slick.
Oh, yeah, you know, I mean.
You was almost like, I'm not going to let up, but I'm going to let up.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's a. They say it said, there's a will, there's a way.
Hey.
There's a will, there's a way, you know what I mean?
But I'm going to tell you
why. I'm glad you jumped on, man.
I'm going to tell you why, though. I'm going to tell you why. And I told you then, I don't know if you realize or remember. I said, I don't like rap right now.
You did say that. That's right. I do remember that.
And the reason I ain't like it, because it was all this 50 Cent and this one doing this, and then the mumble rap started. And I was not happy with music as far as rap was concerned. It made me mad. It bored me. Because wasn't nobody trying to really rap no more.
It was just going with the wave.
Yeah. So that's why I didn't want to do it. I was like, I don't want to give no more energy to something that I ain't feel like at the time was worth my time.
Right. I got you.
But as you kept asking, let me tell you what happened.
A shift took place.
You're right, because Because then I started feeling like
you was rapping like a conqueror on that sucker.
Listen, I'm finna tell you what happened. I started feeling like in my own mind, my ego started working again. Mm. And it was like, these niggas don't think I can still do it.
Nah.
Yeah. Hey, that's what I say. These niggas don't think I can still do it, huh? Now, that might have not have been nobody else. That might have been my own way to motivate myself.
A self-motivation.
You know what I'm saying? To say, okay, well, maybe it ain't them. Maybe it's you. You don't think you can do it.
Right.
So then I say, I know I can do it. Okay. Because I feel like when I touch some pen or paper or the mic, bro, I'm going to be one, if not the best, I'm going to be one of the best out at every chance I get to make every chance I get to prove to y'all that I could do something more. I can move with the times and change with the times. I'm going to do it.
Oh, evolve, right.
Correct.
I got you. Right.
So then we go and get the beat made from J-Mo.
J-Mo! Well, you did that one. Put your foot on the neck, devil neck with that one, boy.
We sat down and it was made from scratch. No samples. No pre-ideas except the idea at that time. And I'm talking about the original truth now. I'm not talking about the remix. I'm just saying how the remix came into
the construction.
Correct.
Of it. Right. I got you.
So we made it. And then I said, okay, now Cuz talking that stuff on this one. I said, he talking that stuff like I like to hear. Because when you did it, it reminded me of some of the Young K stuff.
Right, right.
And then I said, oh, no, I could do this one. I said I wasn't going to do it, but I could do this one because he talking that good stuff I like to hear.
Yeah.
And that's what sparked me to do it.
You always push me, though, like. And not really interrupt what you're saying.
I remember what I was saying.
You push me as far as you be like, when I let you hear my music, and you be like, depending on if you like it or don't like it, but if you don't like it, it make me be like, dang. Or you be like, I like it, but I felt like you could have gave it a little bit of oomph. A little bit, see what I'm saying? So when you critique it and it's not all the way to the satisfaction that I would like for you to be at, made me become a better version of myself.
Oh man,
going back to the drawing board.
That's a blessing, bro.
So I wanted to, you know, put
I appreciate
out,
that,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you dropped that one, I listened to it. You talking about and all that stuff you talking on that record, I say, oh man, he right up my alley. I say, I know I can't go all the way Dice Montana on it, but oh, it's on that lane. You know, cause you had switch to the Christian. I say, but I got it. And that's what made me say, okay. Cause I was like, well, he talking that stuff on this one. I felt like, you know, before that, you was doing the politically correct stuff in the records. And at that point in time, something happened. Like what you just explained, what happened where you actually finally felt comfortable with talking and being different and saying, I don't care who like it or whatever, this
right,
me.
Embracing.
At that moment, which I had been talking to you about anyway.
Yeah.
And telling you, don't worry about them, cuz, do it.
It's basically just like getting rid of all
man,
the insecurities.
Man, that was like the song that you did that was like the first one, and you said, hey, I'm out to share. You either like it or not.
Right.
But you can't tell me I ain't saved, cuz I am. And you were sure of yourself at that time.
It didn't matter.
And I said, oh, man.
Yeah.
I said, oh, man, when I heard it, my legs start rocking. And I say, oh, shoot.
Say, lady start rocking.
Coming out of guns at an early age. Oh, I say, oh, man.
Yeah.
Said, I got that pen.
Bro.
And I went to work.
I pray the Lord will forgive
me.
Oh,
man.
Every day I'm tempted to sin.
Huh?
Lord, forgive me.
Yeah.
It feels like the world on my shoulders, but I'm a soldier.
That's bars.
I'm not giving up on my dreams, so I'm a blow up.
Bro. Hey, when I heard that, I said, okay. I say, nah, for this nigga, y'all forgive my language. That's how I talk with my cousin. That's how I talk with people. I say, for this nigga here, I'm going to do it. I say, I'm going to do it.
It was one of the most exciting sessions outside of the old song that we did together, How You Living.
That's a classic.
You know what I'm saying? They
That's a classic that, y'all didn't get a chance to hear. But man.
But I'll say it gave me about that same, same energy. About that same type of energy.
And I did exactly what we talked about on there. I gave the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
About infidelity, I was with different women, and I was, you know, told stories about my granddaddy.
I just love how you came on. I was so gone.
I was.
I was like, what, boy?
I was out, bro. I ain't care. At one point in my life, I was like, whatever gonna happen, happen, and it was, I'm gonna deal with it. I was in the streets at that time.
When y'all hear it, just hear that first bar. I was so gone. Yeah, like,
it
man.
Was definitely that's a great record. And now, just by the way, it's out now.
Yeah,
all these records we talking about are out now.
Please support
Spotify,
it.
Apple Music,
right? Deezer, Shazam, all that.
TikTok,
right?
Snapchat, well, Instagram, everywhere,
right?
YouTube,
right?
It don't matter how you don't have enough money to buy it, stream it.
Right.
You're still giving us blessings. We still getting paid. Stream it.
And it's real, and it's real content. And we're gonna continue. Listen, we got it's so much
oh,
that
we got
so much of a catalog.
We got a whole album. If we didn't even do no new music, the music we already then recorded together, we could put out as a whole album. And still have room for another album.
Yeah, we got.
And I'm not talking about EP. I'm talking about full album.
Most definitely.
So it's music that y'all gonna get from us that's been just resting. I ain't gonna say on the shelf because we don't put stuff on the shelf. We let it rest.
And I'm gonna tell you this. I believe the blessing that God has blessed us with is. You get great content, but yet be entertained.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's a good mystery. Like,
and you get the truth.
You get the truth, and you also find yourself being inspired, being motivated, you know what I'm saying, at the same time, and can have fun. You know, you and then the music don't have, at least for my music in particular doesn't have any cussing in it. You know what I mean? Which means you can, the little kids can listen to it. I got old ladies.
Let me say this.
60, 70.
His music don't have no cursing in it, but it still give you the feeling as if you could be in a club, as if you could be in a church, as if you could be in the car.
It's like crossover. Like it's
It fit all genres and it's kid friendly. So when you have kid friendly but adult records, you can't get no better than that.
And it's a blessing because it'll be a headache trying to edit every record. Like,
you play the truth or you play Elevation or you play the original truth or you play Pray For Me. Which y'all have not heard
Ooh.
Yet. That's in the clip. That's coming.
We bought one out. Yeah.
Or you play Jesus is Champion. It's almost like Jesus is Champion. You go back to Kanye West, Jesus Waltz. They played it in the clubs. And as if it, they didn't even understand they was getting a message because they was enjoying it so much. But after hearing it, it go to your
and
mind.
And it was different.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So these records are not in a box. The way it's
Oh no.
Rap this or rap that.
Most Deaf About Life. Most Deaf About Everyday Life.
Everybody can listen to it.
Right.
We had, and I'm not lying. Tell me if I'm lying on Abro. We had elderly people rooting for us.
Oh man.
Waiting for this music. Remember Mr. Jesse and Jessica and
It's so many people.
Peaches. Peaches, remember we used to go to Peaches' house on for over there by Okeechobee? All the way to the end, and we go in there, and they play, and they say,
Miss Loretta, them, and everybody. Yeah, we used to have the neighborhoods really, when I was young, K, you know what I mean? Wasn't even a save. You know, we always had people that felt like it was something. It was destiny. It was something that was just great about us, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, here we are now, you know what I'm saying, some years later. And it just goes to show, you know, we kept at what we believed in and we evolved in the process of time. And now y'all have the truth and now y'all have Elevation and the Truth Remix. You see what I'm saying? I want to say this though. To anybody who got a dream and got a vision, if you're serious about it, you gotta make it happen. You gotta, and it's not gonna come easy. It's not, and that's the truth. You know what I'm saying? Like, this did not come easy.
And people gonna talk. People gonna even laugh at you. People gonna disregard you. And you got to keep pushing. You got to keep going because they got to laugh at you first. Because what you're doing might seem so outlandish to them.
You're basically becoming a trendsetter.
It might be so crazy. Like when you told your mama you wanted to rap. Now, I was there at times where she would say, you need to just stop.
Right, and I wanted to get to that point. I'm glad you made that. People, yeah, I'm glad you said that. Yeah, that's
people,
true.
And not only people, but your family will tell you to stop or don't do this or don't.
Yeah.
You need to focus on this and not the focus people on
closest,
that.
A lot of times the people closest to you, you know, and people in general, I done had a lot of people try to dictate how my life should be. You see what I'm saying? And I'm not going to lie, like emotionally and mentally, it was real draining. You know what I'm saying? Especially when, let's say if you're a teenager and you like, you living in your parents' house type thing and stuff like that. It's like, you still trying to find yourself in a lot of ways at that age. You know what I'm saying? Like you desire what you desire, but then you got, you know, your parents and different people saying, you know, I don't want you to be a lawyer. I want you to be a doctor. I don't want you to be a rapper. You know what I'm saying?
That stuff will take the joy out of what you got.
Yeah, it'll take
the joy and aspiration out of a weak person.
That's a warfare. That's a mental warfare within itself. Yeah. That's a real mental warfare. And that's something I had to wrestle with. But look where I'm at now. Why? Because, you know, there was a nudging deep down that kept nudging me that I wasn't at peace unless I stayed true to what I felt that I truly desired to do. You know what I'm saying?
Well, when you're supposed to do something, you got to do it.
And you should do it. And you should do it. And that's the only point I want to make. You know, you may not have all the answers. You know what I'm saying? You have had a dream. But you don't have all the answers at the time. But eventually God will send people around you. In some way, somehow, the answers will come. But you got to be alert as far as you got to be slow to speak, quick to hear. You feel me? That's a principle in the Bible, in the book of James. You know what? Slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to anger. You know what I'm saying? Watch as well as pray. You know, you got to be watchful. As long as you using those type of principles, you will come across the answers that you need to come across. That's the truth, you know. So I think, you know, I don't want to keep rambling, but that's, you know what I'm saying, it probably concludes this session,
Enough said. Enough said. Yeah. One last thing.
Hey!
One last thing we're going to tackle is you've been doing something great in the community and even outside of other communities, which is these concerts you've been putting on.
Oh, man.
Let's talk about that before
Listen,
you leave.
Listen, 2021 is going to be crazy. But I think, okay, so this year, around the summertime, I basically, at my local church, Soul Builders Outreach Deliverance Ministries, I had started this outreach type of evangelistic type event called Friday Night Jams, and it's just basically where, you know, I just network and reach out to people that got like different gifts and talents, people who I feel you know, that's blessed by God, you know, in the form of rapping, singing, praise dancing, steppers, whatever gifts and talents that they have. And like every fourth Friday, you know, they basically just come together and express their talents. And kind of like how I got it now, it's like I just basically look for like certain people that they have such a talent that they can hold their own and they can, you know, become a headliner, you know, like I allow them to be like a headliner of an event, and then they choose like four other guest feature artists where, you know, that makes up one event of a four Friday, you see what I'm saying? And we threw at least about four to five, maybe six of them this year. And it was going well until the pandemic had hit. You see what I'm saying? But now, you know, things kind of like normalized now. So now we most definitely got the ball back rolling. I got about two, three people who agreed to lock in for 2021. But yeah, Friday Night Jams, y'all look forward to that. Also, we have vendors. It's all about, you know, building up a community pretty much, you know what I'm saying? Different business owners and entrepreneurs who's trying to take their business to the next level or just build up their clientele. You know, we do offer vending $50 per business. And you can sell as much as you want, you know, after you pay your $50. If you make $1,000, $2,000, that's all, you know, each entrepreneur, you know what I'm saying, funds and stuff like that there. So it's just a way.
It's great for the
just
community.
Trying to, you know what I'm saying, bring back that unity. Doesn't matter if you're black, doesn't matter if you're white, you know, no stereotyping. Just representing that, you know, the God kind of love, agape love, man, and step outside the four walls of the church. Like, I really want to stand and live by my name from the streets to the church. I ain't trying to hide behind the walls. Like, I'm trying to come wherever I need to go. You know what I'm saying? If it's in the church, in the alleyways, byways. Friday Night Jams, we mobile. And we're down to travel. You know, me and my church or anybody, any artist that's from different areas, we can come and we have the equipment to put together your own show and get it filmed and get it promoted. I do edits and promo videos and stuff like that. So different ways to help other people evolve in what they're trying to do. That's what Friday Night Jams is about. Most importantly, just letting people know that God is real, Jesus Christ, you know what I'm saying, saves, heals, and delivers. That's what it's all about.
Now, you want to give them your Instagram, Facebook, give them all that where they can find you, because as I said, this show is now in other countries. So people
That's
from
a blessing,
other countries
man. That's a blessing.
Can hit you up. They can tune in to you. They can become a follower on your pages. So just give
I would love that. I would love y'all most definitely to support Catastrophic, which is my ministry name, Catastrophic. And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at K Slim FTSTTC. K Slim, like a slim person. FTSTTC. That's the abbreviation from the streets to the church. If you want to know what FTSTTC stands for, it stands for from the streets to the church. So most definitely, I would love for y'all to tune in. I'ma always keep y'all on the journey with great content. Mm-hmm. And make sure y'all get entertained. I'm a very funny person. I don't try to be a comedian per se, but you know I do like
to. Oh, he funny. He funny. He funny without trying to be funny. He is funny, y'all.
Yeah, listen. And I want to get to know what y'all doing. So, you know, y'all inform me and let me know what y'all doing, you know, and you know, vice versa. I like being supportive and that's how it's supposed to work, you know what I'm saying? Favor for a favor.
Hey, listen, man. It's been an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure to discuss this work that you've been doing, to discuss the work that we've done.
Hey!
How it came about, man. Listen, next time, don't let it be this long before you come on the show.
Nah, we good.
This been a fun event for me.
The ball is rolling now.
Man, K-Slim, I can't say nothing else, man. We love him. Hey, man, y'all encourage him. If y'all don't hear from him on this show for a bit of time, y'all get on his pages that he just gave y'all and ask him what's going on.
Yeah, apply the pressure.
Hey, man, that's been this episode of Ear Gash. Y'all know what I always say at the end of the show. Love, peace, happiness, and hair grease. We'll holler at you. Ear Gash.
Warriors!